and trying to get everything together. We had our first service in that building, and I have pictures. It was just me, my wife, and three children. And I remember our first service, we invited one man to church. Well, we invited several people, but we got one man to church, and he was a beggar. He was a Palestinian from Bethlehem. And he came to church, and he had a walker, and he was an old man, and he begged and lived on the streets. He was a real beggar, a Bible beggar, and he really lived there on the streets. And I remember taking him to church with me, and he was so thankful. He was so happy to come to church. But I remember preaching, and I was preaching my guts out, and he was on the front row asleep. And I was so thankful to God that he was there. But he was asleep on the front row. And I remember we would pray for him and try to wake him up. And so we started from scratch. We started with nothing. We started with nobody in the church. And then after some time, there was another man that I found. And it was a miracle that I found this man. There was another missionary back in Amman back in the 90s. And he started a church there, and that church grew to about 200 strong apostolic Jordanians and Iraqis and Syrian and Egyptian. And the brother called me. He said, "Hey, I heard you were in Amman." He said, "I want you to find a man by the name of Brother Yusuf Tashman." He said, "If you find this man," he said, "if he's even still there in Amman," he said, "you'll find everybody else." And I said, "Well, brother, how am I going to find him in a city of 5 million people?" He said, "Well, that's your part. You got to pray." He said, "I lost the contact. I haven't talked to them in a long time. And, you know, it's kind of a long story. But, brother, just pray and God will lead you." And I don't know if he's alive or dead. So I thought, well, am I praying for a dead man, a live man? I don't know what is going on. So I just started praying, "God, help me to find Yusuf Tashman." And I remember I received a photo of him, and I was looking at a photo, and I thought, and I kept looking at it, and I kept praying, and then I would go to it every day and pray and look at the photo. And finally, I don't know what it was, but something in my heart said, "Look at that photo and just examine it really good." And I started looking at it, and I started noticing buildings that were behind him. He took the photo outside. I said, "I think I know that building. I think I've been there before." And then I noticed he was wearing a work uniform, and it said something in Arabic. And I thought, I wonder what that says in Arabic. And we can speak Arabic, but we haven't learned to read and write Arabic. So I said, "You know what, I'm going to call my friend Muhammad, and I'm going to see if he can help me to know what this says in Arabic." And I called Muhammad, and he said, "Yeah, send me the picture." I sent him the picture. He said, "Yes, I know this place. This is a bakery here in Amman." He said, "It's one of the best bakeries in Amman." He said, "You got to go try it." And I said, "Okay." I cropped out Brother Yusuf's face so he didn't know what was going on. But I said, "You know what, I told my wife, we're going to go to this bakery in the morning. And we're going to see if Brother Yusuf is still working there. He has to work there. He's wearing the work shirt." So we got up early in the morning to pray. And we went to the bakery. And it was just opening. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. That's kind of rare in Amman. Not many places open that early. And they were just opening. And we parked there. And I went out to talk with the lady to order some bread and some breakfast, and she was a Muslim, and she spoke pretty good English. And I said, placed my order. Then I came back and talked to my wife, and I said, "Well, I don't see Brother Yusuf." She said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just going to ask for him. I mean, what, we came all this way. What do we have to lose?" So I went up back to the Muslim lady. I said, "Excuse me, but I'm looking for a friend. He's an old time friend, a good friend of mine. His name is Yusuf Tashman." She said, "Oh, Yusuf? I know Yusuf. He works here." She said, "Let me go get him for you. He's a good man." And she brought Yusuf Tashman, and out comes this short little man. And his clothes were old, and he has a big old beard. And I thought, "This is Yusuf Tashman." And I said, "Brother Yusuf Tashman, is this you?" He said, "Yes, I'm Yusuf Tashman. How can I help you?" I said, you don't know me, but do you remember a brother by the name of so-and-so? And he said, yes, that's my pastor. He baptized me in Jesus' name. And I received the Holy Ghost. And I spoke with tongues. And I still believe the apostolic message. And I said, Brother Yusuf Tashman, he sent me with the message for you, your pastor. He said he loves you, he misses you, he's sorry the way things turned out. And he just wanted to tell you that I'm the new pastor here. He said, okay, pastor, I'll follow you now. And I said, he said, what's the first thing you want me to do? I said, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to get all the people that used to come to the church. And I want you to bring them all to the church because we're having church on Fridays and Sundays. He said, okay, I'll do it. And he went and contacted his family. And he contacted some other friends that were still there in Amman. And he gave me a phone number to one of them because the brother gave me also his name. And I contacted this brother. And God was speaking to him as I contacted him. I remember that. And but to make a long story short, Brother Yusuf, on the next service, he brought about an extra, three, four people with him. And then 2 weeks later, I went and talked to him at the bakery, and Brother Yusuf said, hey, Pastor, he said, it looks like you need a baptismal tank. He said, let me see if the old church that we had has a baptistry. And he called the owner, and the owner said, you know what? We don't have anything anymore, the baptistry. As a matter of fact, brother that was there, he translated this whole songbook into Arabic, and we had many of them. And he said, you know, I don't think we have anything. I can't find anything. You know, everything got sold, and everything is gone, and I'm just sorry to tell you that. And Brother Yusuf hung up the phone. He said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but they don't have anything. He said, but I got good news. He said, the old building is available. Do you want it? I said, yes, we want it. Because everybody knows that church. And that church that was called the First Apostolic Church of Amman. I said, of course we want that building. He said, well, the owner said, if you want it, you got to take two spaces. And I said, well, we'll take it. I don't care. I just want that building. So we went and we took the building, and this was our first service. We had about almost 15 people in that building, and we were worshiping God and praising God and giving God the glory. Amen. And then go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is after some time, after this is Brother Imad, by the way. After about 6 months, I had been teaching Brother Imad and Brother Abdullah and Brother Abdullah's wife, which is Brother Imad's sister, and Brother Imad's mother and Brother Imad's father. And anyways, we would have a big family Bible study in their living room and on the outside balcony. And I remember teaching them. And after 6 months, I'd been preaching and teaching them about the Holy Ghost, about the plan of salvation and the oneness of God. And Brother Imad, for all this time, he wanted the Holy Ghost and he couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. And I remember the service I was preaching on faith. And Brother Imad received the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Amen. Thank God. But I remember that service, Brother Imad came to me and he said, Pastor, you're never going to believe this, but that was going to be my last service. I said within myself, if I don't get the Holy Ghost today, he said, I'm leaving this church never to return. He said, because the pastor's been preaching to us that the Holy Ghost is real and the Holy Ghost is for us. And we could receive the Holy Ghost today, not tomorrow, not next year. And I would preach to them. And he said, but I just couldn't get the Holy Ghost. So I thought, maybe it's not real. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe Jesus is not going to accept me and give me the Holy Ghost. He said, that was going to be my last service. Amen. But God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said, it's real. Amen. He told me it's real. And he told the church, the Holy Ghost is real. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And go ahead and go to the next slide. And after that, God began to outpour the Holy Ghost on more Jordanian people. By the way, Imad's half Egyptian and Jordanian. And I forgot to mention, he's single. He's looking for a wife. He's in his early 20s. He's one of my helpers in the church, and he sings, and I got him to learn to sing and helping me in the church. And this young man, he's submissive, he's obedient, and he's very intelligent, and he's a hard worker. Let me tell you, he's a very hard worker. He knows how to do electrician work. He knows how to paint. He knows how to clean. He knows how to do just about everything, mechanics, everything. He went to a school there in Jordan to learn all of that. And anyways, but God began to pour out the Holy Ghost on his mother, received the Holy Ghost. She's in the pink. Sister Lena got the Holy Ghost, and she spoke in tongues. And then his aunt, Sister Yasmin, got the Holy Ghost, and she spoke in tongues. Amen. And these are some of the people that received the Holy Ghost, and there was more. Amen. Go ahead and go to the next slide. There was more that prayed through to the Holy Ghost that used to come to the church. There was more that received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then we baptized Fias in Jesus' name. This is Brother Imad's uncle. And God touched him, and God is working in his life. He's half Lebanese and half Jordanian. Amen. And we baptized him in the name of Jesus. And you can see right behind me, there is some Arabic words. And this is Acts 2:38 in Arabic. Amen. So when the Arabs come to church, because we have church in Arabic, we sing in Arabic, we preach in Arabic, I pray in Arabic, amen. And when they come in, I want them to see the apostolic message in Arabic. Amen. So we baptize Fias in Jesus' name. Pray for him. He needs the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is a night that the missiles were fired off there in Amman in April. And does anybody remember when Iran shot missiles at Israel this year in April? And I had just took a trip over to Kurdistan, Iraq, to baptize a Muslim man in Jesus' name. And my wife was there in Amman, excuse me, and she was there. She called me. I want her to tell the story. When she was there, she called me and she said, "You're never going to believe this, but they're shooting hundreds of missiles and there are drones in the skies of Amman." And she was there with the church. She was there with my three children. And I'm over in Iraq. And we started praying. But tell us the story. Thank God.
Praise the Lord, church. First of all, I want to honor your pastor and first lady of the church. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come and share what God is doing in the country of Jordan. And thank you for the accommodations. We're so grateful and thankful. And as my husband was sharing, this happened back in April. And I remember calling my husband, and immediately my first words to him were, "I am not leaving. Do not send me back. God is going to give us the harvest in this country." And God did just that. And I just want to share a little bit from a woman's perspective. The women there are very oppressed. They don't have the privilege to be able to pursue education, to pursue even employment. They're especially in the part of the city that we're in, it's the culture. They're taught to just be at home. You cook, you clean, and that's all you do. Take care of the children if you have children. And we're able to share with these women that you can have freedom and liberty through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm seeing women that are so depressed and oppressed, begin to see that heaviness, that burden lift off of them. We're going into women's homes. My husband just shared that he was taking a flight to Iraq. As he got back, it's amazing that there's been Iraqi families that God has been sending to our church, and we're going into their homes, visiting them. The women are able to share with me, like, we don't have anything. We've fled from war, fled from ISIS. Our homes were bombed. This is what they're up against. Their husbands, they don't give them jobs because they're not Jordanian citizens. It's very hard for them to find work. So they're so depressed, and all they want to do is work and provide for their families. And I'm just so thankful that God has allowed us to go to be able to share the gospel with them, to be able to share the love of God with them, that there is hope and that his promises are forever settled. And we're so thankful. Just pray for us, pray for the work of God in Jordan. And we're so excited, and I cannot wait to get back. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And as you can see, there were some missiles that fell there in Amman. There's one laying on the street. This is in a city called Marj al Hammam. And this is in Amman. This is about maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes from our church, maybe 10, 15 minutes. And this is right off of, I believe, Airport Road. Anyways, this is the people were there trying to clean up the missiles that fell behind. And of course, none of the missiles really made it to Israel. And there were more missiles that fell in Amman. There was some that fell on farmland. Farmers were there farming, and they found missiles there in the morning, and some other places in Jordan where missiles fell into the country. And as you know, there's a conflict going on there right now, and Iran wants to retaliate against Israel because Israel is there taking out terrorist leaders, and Jordan does not want to get involved. And I just read something that Jordan is telling Iran if they do something, then Jordan's going to have to get involved, and they're going to also shoot missiles at Iran. So this could be a big regional war, and we're praying that this does not turn into a regional war. Amen. Amen. But thank God he kept his hand upon my wife and my children and the church, and nobody got hurt. And we are so thankful for God's protection over our lives. And I have a saying there, the terrorists are sending missiles, but God is sending labors. Amen. 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 They are sharing their ideology. Terrorism. Amen. Kill for the name of Allah. Amen. But while they're sharing their ideology, we are sharing the apostolic message. Amen. Amen. And we're teaching people truth, and we're teaching people how to come out of darkness into the light. Thank God. Thank God. And go ahead and go to the next slide. This is just some pictures of me in Iraq. I was there to baptize a Muslim man in the Tigris River in the name of Jesus. And I was there teaching him and helping him. And him too, as one of the brothers was sharing how God showed a lady from Syria. And this man too also seen a man in white. And this is how he came to Jesus. And he comes from a Muslim family. And when we arrived to Kurdistan, Iraq, I remember while as I was there and we were in the airport, and nobody wanted to help us because we were American and we had American passports, and we were trying to get our visas approved. And I remember we started praying a prayer. It was a simple prayer. We said, God, let your authority go before us. God, let your authority go before us. God, let your authority go in front of us. Amen. And I remember a man just came out of nowhere. We did not know this man. He spoke perfect English. And he said, excuse me, sir, can I help you? He said, you need to come this way. He said, let me show you where to go. He said, you're trying to get your visa stamped. Let me show you where to go. And he got our visa stamped. Amen. All because God's authority, amen, can go in front of us, in front of kings. And in front of armies. Amen. And it could go beyond places that we could ever think. Amen. And he got us into the country. Thank God. And I was able to baptize this man in Jesus' name. Amen. And he also had received the Holy Ghost before I baptized him. He had already been praying and repenting of his sins. Amen. And And I was able to baptize him there, and I was able to visit some other places in Kurdistan, Iraq. I remember going to many villages where ISIS was at, where many Christians fled from their lives. I remember them taking me to a mountain where there was live explosive bombs there, and they told me, don't go on that mountain. I said, I don't want to go. Amen. Let's keep driving. Thank God. Amen. And we went to Nineveh. I remember going to Nineveh, where the prophet Nahum, I went to the same village where Nahum, the prophet, wrote about. As a matter of fact, he was born there. If you'll go back and read the book of Nahum, it calls him the Al-Kushite. Amen. I went to that village, the village of Al-Kush. It's still called Al-Kush. Amen. It's a beautiful village. It's all Christian. And they have it all bordered off, so it's very secure. And I remember them taking me there, and that's where the prophet Nahum was buried and born. And it was a beautiful place, all green. It's a very, very, very green place. All Nineveh is very beautiful. And I was thankful for that trip. And as a result of that, not only did we baptize this man in Jesus' name, but they also reached to three other men who were from Syria who are married. I believe two of them are married. And they contacted me. They said, can you please come back to Iraq? We fled from Syria and we came to Iraq. They said, can you please come back and open a church for us in Kurdistan, Iraq, and teach us about the truth? And I told them, of course, I will return back soon. And I'm reaching out to them, and I've been trying to teach them the word of God online. And so pray for Kurdistan, Iraq, that God will continue to use us there and to preach the gospel. Amen. Now back to Amman, Jordan. We've only been in America for 3 weeks. This was 3 weeks before we left. So this was 6 weeks ago. And 2 weeks before this, 8 weeks ago, I told the church in Amman, we now grown from a church of five, my family and I. There's five of us to 30. We had 30 in the church. And we've been teaching them for 1 year. The oneness of God, the plan of salvation, holiness, separation from the world. And I told the church, I said, we're going to pray and fast for 2 weeks because I feel that God wants to do something. And we were getting ready for a communion service. And I told them, I want you to prepare your hearts for communion. But I also feel that God wants to do two things in this prayer and fasting. God wants to do miracles. And God wants to fill up our church with more people, with hungry people, with people that want to know the truth, with people that want to be saved. And the church started praying and fasting. We all started praying and fasting for 2 weeks. And I remember the first thing that happened was miracles started happening in the church. Families were being restored. Amen. Lives were being changed. And different brothers in the church that were going on fast were calling me saying, I just got a miracle in my job. And another brother would call me, I just got a miracle. And another sister would call and say, I just got a miracle. Amen. And miracles were happening in the church. And on the second week, I remember asking God, I taught the church, Isaiah 58, God's chosen fast. When you fast, you're supposed to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And I believe in fasting like that, not just not eating and only drinking water, but I believe you got to feed the hungry. And I told them, let's find some people. So I began to pray, God, send me someone that really needs some food. And I received a message from a lady that I did not know. She said, Pastor, you don't know me, but can you help me? I need some food. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for a job. I'm not asking for anything, but I need food. She said, you can come to my house and look in my refrigerator, and you'll see that I have no food. And I said, I believe you. I know there's many people that have needs in this country. And I said, I don't need to do all of that. I'll bring you some food. I'll bring you enough food to last you for the month. And I wasn't able to visit her, so I told her, can you please come to the church and come get the food? So my driver, he's an Egyptian man. He's coming out of Coptic Orthodox Church there from Egypt. And he's been Coptic all his life. He's been coming to the Apostolic Church. That's Brother Imad's father. And God's working on him. And he's my driver for the church. And we have a little car rental. And he picked her up. And she got in the car. And she said, this is the bus for the church? She's a Jordanian woman. And my driver said, this is it. She said, this is too small for what God wants to do in this church. And she got to church and I preached and I prayed for them and I gave them the food and I thought that was it. I didn't know anything about the conversation with the driver. And she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, is that the car for the church? That's the bus. I said, that's it. She said, that's too small for what God wants to do. God. Amen. She said, that's too small for what God wants to do. She said, she came to church on Friday. She said, if you can get me a bus, I'll fill it up. Amen. She said, I said, how much is a bus? She said, it's $30. That's it. I'm paying more for that car rental. She said, rent me a bus and I'll fill it up. And on Sunday, she walked in with 75 brand new people. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 And God touched them and ministered to them. And she walked in with Jordanians and more Iraqis and more Egyptians. And as my wife was saying, more Iraqi people came to church. And God worked on them and God was touching them. And we were able to preach the apostolic truth to them. And this woman, she came to church. She was so prepared. She didn't just bring 75 brand new people to church. She said, can I teach the Sunday school? Because I'm bringing children. I'm bringing young people. I'm bringing old people. I'm just bringing everybody from my neighborhood. I said, okay. And, you know, sometimes you just use what you got, and God will give you what you need. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? We're not prepared for Sunday school. I said, but you know what? Let's just give her a chance. Let's see what she does. And she taught the Sunday school, and I told my wife, I just want you to go in there and just make sure she doesn't pray or teach in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I mean, she could teach in the name, but not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And so my wife went in there. And she came after the service and she said, she did not talk about Father, Son, Holy Ghost. She didn't do all of this. She didn't do that. As a matter of fact, she prayed in Jesus' name. And I said, well, thank God. And I went to visit all these families. We had a lot of families to visit. We do a lot of home visits. And we spend hours in homes teaching and helping and talking and trying to get to know these people. You got to know something about Arab culture. They're very relational people. I can't just pastor them and them come to church Sundays and Fridays. If I do that, they won't come to church. So I have to go in their homes. And I got to eat their food. And I got to sit where they're at. I got to get to their level. And a lot of them are poor. Amen. But when they see the pastor doing that, they know the pastor loves me. He cares about me because he comes to visit me. Quite often. And my wife goes and visits quite often. She goes and visits more than I do. But they know we care and we love them. But I remember going in to visit her the next day and her family. And she said, I want you to meet my father. He didn't go to church, but he's going to come. She said, but can you meet him? I said, yeah, tell him to come. I mean, we're in y'all's home. Might as well bring him. So in this old man, he's wearing a Jordanian kafaya. You know, that red and white looking thing when they ride the camels. Anyways, it's called a kafaya. He walked in and he had a suit on and he comes in and she's like, yeah, he speaks good English. He walks in. The first thing he says, I don't believe in three persons. I don't believe in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I'm looking like, who is this man? He said, I believe you got to preach Jesus' name. And I'm looking at him. He said, all the priests around here and all the churches around here tell me, why do you always talk and teach and preach and pray in Jesus' name only? And he said, well, that's what the New Testament is about. It's about Jesus. And I said, sir, I don't mean to cut you off, but who taught you this message? And I said, do you know a man by the name of Joseph Conroy? He said, yes, I know Brother Conroy. He baptized me in Jesus' name. Amen. And I said, well, did you used to come to our church, the First Apostolic Church? He said, that's where I was baptized. And he said, I remember the church. He said, that was my church. So this lady, one lady that filled up a bus, amen, her father was baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's why she understands the apostolic message through her father. Thank God. And they never forgot it. Amen. And this was our first bus route that Sunday. We ran our first bus. And the lady, the Jordanian woman, she told me, she said, Pastor, he said, get me the bus every Sunday and I'll fill it up. And every Sunday she's been filling up this bus and filling up the church. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. And when we get back, she said, Pastor, when you come back from America, he said, I'm going to need a second bus. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And, you know, Brother Conroy was there. He dug the wells in the 1990s. That church was a powerful Arabic-speaking church, apostolic. I've got pictures. They ran 200 members. They were all apostolic. The women were long dresses, didn't cut their hair, didn't wear makeup, didn't wear jewelry, believed the apostolic message. The men believed the apostolic message. And, but, you know, the devil came in and destroyed and divided that church. Amen. But, and it's a long story, and Brother Conroy has nothing to do with him, but Brother Conroy, he said, Brother, he's rejoicing now. He said, Brother, God is restoring everything that the devil tried to destroy. And I'm redigging the old wells like Isaac redug the wells of Abraham. Amen. Thank God. And we are reaping the harvest. This is what God told us when we went into Ammon. Before we went there, God told me, he said, I'm going to give you the harvest. He said, because I know you're going to reach the people with all of your hearts. He said, there are people here that are reaching. And I give them a little bit. He said, but I'm going to give you all of the harvest. He said, because I know you'll reach with all of your heart. Amen. And that was over 2 years ago that God spoke that to me. And as my wife said, don't send me home. There's missiles in the sky, but don't send me home. Because remember the promise, God's going to give us the harvest. Amen. That happened in April. And look at now, God is giving us the harvest. Amen. Amen. God has given us souls. Amen. We had over 100 in church that service. Thank God. And every service we've been running almost 100 Jordanians and Iraqis and Egyptians and Lebanese and Syrian and people from Sudan and people from Sri Lanka are coming and they are worshiping God. You can see Sister Lena there clapping her hands as she's wearing a skirt. Amen. And her daughter standing next to her. They were singing and she's wearing a skirt. And a lot of those women there in the picture, I remember mother, she's sitting in the far corner, and it was the man, the Jordanian man that walked in, the father that said, I don't believe in three persons. His wife was in that service. And I remember she told all the women, she said, now I see the pastor's wife dresses different. She said, and I believe in that. She said, I want all you women to start coming to church in dresses. And they did, thank God. She made my job a whole lot easier. Thank God. Thank God. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Amen. And this is another family here in Moab. This is Central Jordan. This is another family where we're going to start another church. They are begging us to go there all the time. When are you coming to start the church with us? And we'll be starting another church with this family, and there are many more people there that they know. They are Jordanians. This family is a Jordanian family. There's a young daughter, a young lady who's daughter of the mother that's in this picture. And her daughter came to the church in Ammon. She's been there at least 3-4 times. And every time she comes, she brings visitors. And I remember one service, she brought some visitors with her. And there were some young men. And the power of God was moving in the church, and we had a packed out service, and the power of God was moving, and people were worshiping, and people were praying. And I remember he came up to me and he said, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" And I prayed for him. And afterwards, he said, "Come here, I want to talk to you." And he grabbed me and he said, "Will you please bring the power of God to Saudi Arabia?" He said, "I live in Saudi Arabia, and I'm never going to feel the power of God like this in all of the Middle East, in all of Saudi Arabia." He said, "Will you please bring the power of God to Saudi Arabia?" And I said, "I've always felt to go to Saudi Arabia." He said, "Will you please come?" I said, "I will go. I will go." He said, "When you come, I will show you all the people that need the power of God." He said, I will show you where we can start a church." Amen. And this young lady brought this man to church, and very soon we'll be going to Saudi Arabia to start another apostolic church. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. We've only been in Amman for about 2 years, and God is working, and God is sending, and God is pouring out his spirit, and God is reaching after these Arab people, and we are thankful to be there and thankful for what God is doing, and we give God all the glory. Amen. It's not anything by us, not because we have anything special or anything. It's just by God. God spoke to us, and God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Let's all stand and give God some worship and glory today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pray for the Middle East. Pray for Asia. Pray for Saudi Arabia. Pray for Jordan. Pray for Iraq. Hallelujah. Pray for Turkey. Pray for Syria. Pray for Israel. Pray for Lebanon. Pray for the terrorists. Pray that God would show them truth. Pray that God would open their eyes, give them dreams and visions. Pray that God would show them the way. Amen. Pray that God would show them the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now pray for your mission field. Amen. Pray for Texas. There are cultures, people from other cultures here. Pray for them. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank God. I feel a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost here today. And I know those were slides, amen, but God is at work. Amen. God is at work. Amen. There's a harvest all over this world. It's much bigger than Texas. It's much bigger than Jordan. Amen. There are people in places that are unreached, that are unevangelized. Amen. I know they talk about unchurched places in America, but when I think about it, there's a lot of churches in America. And there are some places that may be unchurched, amen, but they have access to the Bible. They have access to Christianity, amen. They may not have a church in their city, but they can drive an hour, 2 hours away to go to a church. But in a place like the Middle East, amen, there's not many churches, and as a matter of fact, there's not many apostolic churches that are preaching the truth, that are preaching the word of God. There are unreached places. There are unevangelized places. There are places that cannot go to a church. They do not have access to a Bible, to Christianity. They will be persecuted. There are places like this and all over the Middle East. Amen. But pray for the Middle East. Pray for the country of Jordan. Pray for us. Pray that God will protect us as we go into some of these countries that never had an apostolic church and they've never heard the apostolic message. Amen. But I can tell you one thing, even though they never heard it, even though they don't know anything about it, many of the Arab people tell me, "We are tired of religion. We are tired of the routine. There has to be something more. We are tired of tradition. We are tired of going into a building and praying to God, praying to Allah, praying to Mary, praying to statues, and we don't feel anything. And they tell me, we're tired of routine. Amen. But when they walk into an apostolic church in the Middle East and they feel the presence of Almighty God, they say, this is what we've been looking for. Amen. This is what we've been searching for. Hallelujah. So pray that God would send more revival and more laborers and more people to the church. I never felt to start one church in Jordan. When God spoke to me that he would give us the harvest, he said, this is where you'll begin, but this is not where you'll end. Amen. I never felt to just start one church, one work. I've always felt to start many churches and make disciples all over the Middle East. Amen. And God is doing that very thing right now. God is opening doors for us. Amen. That I never would have imagined. Amen. But pray for us. Amen. Let's turn in the Bible to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 41 through 51. And thank you so much once again for allowing us to be here, Brother Crosswhite. God bless you. And God bless this church. John 6, 41 through 51. I'm going to do my best not to preach very long. In Jordan, I normally preach about 2 hours. Because they're hungry for the Word of God. And they ask me questions. They want to know the truth. Amen. But today I'll give you a little break and preach about an hour. Bishop, I'm just kidding. Thank God. John 6, 41 through 51. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Let's all put our Bibles down and pray and ask God to give us the understanding and God's word would get in our hearts tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here in this service. We ask you, God, to give us understanding. God, we pray that the word of the Lord would make an impact, God, in the hearts of the people here today. We pray, God, that your spirit would move. We pray, God, that you would work in our hearts tonight. Come on, lift up your voice and pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind every distraction. In the name of Jesus, I bind every sickness in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap our hands and give God praise. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Look to your neighbor and tell them, amen, you're a world changer. Amen. Thank God. And if you're going to preach with me, you could be seated. Amen. I want to preach a message entitled, The Unreached Harvest. the unreached harvest. Jesus is referring back to the time of Moses when the children of Israel were in the wilderness asking for food to sustain their natural hunger. So God rains down manna from heaven. And manna in the Hebrew means, what is it? Everybody say, what is it? That's what manna means. In the book of Exodus chapter 16, manna was given by God in abundance. The Jews could gather as much as they needed for their tents and eat as much as they wanted, but by the end of the day, the manna would rot. So God produced their provision, but their provision was temporary. The manna was produced. Pay attention. The manna was produced for one nation, for one group of people, for one culture. It wasn't for everybody. It was only for one group. The purpose of this miraculous edible substance called manna was to show God's people that he was able to provide for their needs. It showed them that God wanted his people to know him in a personal way. God wanted them to know, I'm your provider. Amen. Is anybody know that God is their provider today? Amen. He's provided for me. It showed them that God wanted his people to know him in a personal way. But as time passes on, we see that the children of Israel would develop a mentality of the temporal and a mindset of selfishness. And for 40 years, the children of Israel would gather manna. And Jesus is using Moses and the manna as a revelation of himself and is about to change the dynamics from a nationalistic framework to a world-saving mentality. The framework of Jesus was totally different from the way these Jews were taught and the way that they thought. Stay with me for a little while. We read in the New Testament that the model in the mission of Jesus was not to remain as one group of people, not to remain as just one nation. Amen. The model in the mission of Jesus was to take the whole gospel by the whole church to the whole world. Amen. Amen. And in times like we are living in, amen, this world needs an apostolic church. Amen. To take the whole gospel by the whole church. Amen. To the whole world. Amen. This world is dying and looking for answers. Amen. And they need an apostolic church that has the answer to their problems. Amen. That has the answer to their addictions. Amen. That has the problem. Amen. Come on, somebody. The apostolic church has the answer. Amen. They need somebody that knows the born again message. Amen. The world is lost and looking for answers. Amen. But they're not going to find their answers in the White House. They're not going to find the answers in the government buildings. They're not going to find their answers in the halfway houses. They're not going to find their answers somewhere out there. They're going to find their answers in the house of God. I said they're going to find their answers in the church of the living God. Amen. When your pastor gets up to preach and he preaches the whole counsel of God, amen, that's where they're going to hear their answer. I thought I was in an apostolic church. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I know you give a little good Baptist head nod. Amen. Amen. I thought we were in an apostolic church. Amen. The answer is still in the house of God. Amen. I remember when I was lost in sin, I came to an apostolic church and they told me to repent and they told me to be baptized in Jesus' name and all my sins would be washed away. And they told me, you got to receive the Holy Ghost.
Come on, somebody. Amen. The answer for the sin problem is in the church. Amen. I know that there's this idea in America. There's an ideology called nationalism. And I don't want to get political. But this idea of nationalism in America that says it's all about America. It's all about Americans. This idea of nationalism. I see this idea coming into the church. Amen. And I see churches that are afraid to reach out to other cultures, that are afraid to talk to people from other nations, that are afraid to go to somebody who doesn't have the same skin color as them. Amen. Because they come from somewhere else and they got an accent. Amen. I wish we would get that nationalism idea out of our minds. Amen. Because we're not just American. We are the church. Amen. We're the church first. And Jesus said, go to all the world. Jesus said, preach to every creature. And I know that there are borders in America, and I agree with the borders. I was born and raised in this country. I'm thankful for America. I feel blessed that I was born here. I love America. I love what America stands for. I love the freedom of America. I love the American laws. I love everything about America. Thank God for America. I'm so thankful that my children were born here. Amen. I'm so thankful for America. Believe me, I love America. I'm patriotic. I love America. And I know there are borders to protect this country. And I agree with the borders. But I'm afraid in some churches, we put some borders up on the doors. Amen. We put some borders up on the doors. And we put some borders up in our minds when we're out in the grocery stores. And we're out pumping gas at the gas station. We've got borders up in our minds. Amen. When you pumped your gas at the gas station. I don't know how it is in Texas, but in California, when you walk into the gas station, there's a man from India. There's a man from the Middle East that you would go and talk to and pay your gas to. Amen. Amen. But we've got borders up in our minds because we don't invite them to church. We don't talk to them about the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. We've got borders up in our minds. But I think it's time we tear down the borders. Amen. The borders were never meant for the church. The borders were never meant for our minds. Amen. I wish somebody would get in the Holy Ghost right now and tear down the borders in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. This church is for everybody. It's for the poor and the rich. It's for the drug addict and the alcoholic. It's for the addicted. It's for the abused and the broken. This church is for everybody. This church is for the gang member and the prostitute. This church is for everybody.
Hallelujah. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. This church is for everybody. Amen. Let the pastor put the borders up. Amen. Let him set the standard. Amen. Let him put the holiness out there. Amen. Amen. You just go catch the fish. Don't worry about cleaning them up. The pastor and the Holy Ghost will clean them up. Amen. Believe me. Hallelujah. The pastor will preach the word of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will move in their hearts. And the Holy Ghost and the word of God being preached will clean them up. You just go catch them and God will clean them up. Time to tear down the borders. Amen. You're not Border Patrol. We're not Border Patrol. We're apostolic. We're one God. We're Jesus' name. Amen. We're tongue talkers. Amen. We're holy rollers. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're world changers.
Amen. We're world changers. Amen. We're world changers. You're city changer. Amen. You could change your city. Amen. You could change your county. You could change your country. You could change the world. Amen. Amen. The revelation of the manna. We talked about who the manna is for. But now I want to tell you what the manna is. Manna means, what is it? It's a question that the Jews would ask. What is it? What is it? What is it? And as I was studying this, the answer came to me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. What is it? It's Jesus. Amen. There are people coming to America, and they're coming from other nations, and they're asking the question, what is it? What is it? What is it? And the church should respond. And the church should say. And the church should answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. What is it about America? It's Jesus. What is it about American people? It's Jesus. Come on, somebody. What is it to my addiction? What is the answer to my problem? It's Jesus. What is the answer to my pornographic addiction? It's Jesus. What is the answer to my abuse, to my broken heart? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The revelation of the manna is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. What is it? It's Jesus. The manna in the Old Testament was a type of Christ. The manna of the Old Testament was temporary. The manna of the Old Testament was given to one nation. The manna of the Old Testament was singular. It wasn't multi-dimensional. But the manna of the New Testament. Jesus said, I'll give. The manna that I'll give is my flesh. He said, it's for the world. The manna of the Old Testament was for one nation, but the manna of the New Testament is for the world. It's for everybody. It's for all people. It's for all groups. It's for every nation. Amen. It's for everybody. Every culture, every tongue, every tribe. It's for everybody. The Old Testament manna was temporary. Because the flesh would be temporary. That was the temporary vehicle by which the Spirit of God and the Word of God would travel through. He would travel through. He would come in flesh. Amen. But that flesh was temporary. Amen. But that spirit that was in Jesus. Amen. The God that came down and robed himself in flesh. Amen. He wasn't temporary. Amen. He's forever. He's eternal. He's everlasting. Amen. Isaiah prophesied it. Amen. He's the everlasting Father. Amen. Come on, somebody. He's the everlasting Father. In the Old Testament, it's temporary. But when you get Jesus, it's forever. When you get Jesus, come on, it's life changing. It's forever. And it's produced for the world. Produced for the world. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Akata yala barasha tayala barakata. Let's just give God some praise and worship right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Old Testament, Moses delivered one nation. In the Old Testament, Joshua conquered one nation. In the Old Testament, David defeated a giant for one nation. I think you know where I'm going with this, but in the New Testament. Amen. It's one dimensional in the Old Testament, but when you get to the New Testament, when you get to Jesus, amen, why do we preach Jesus? Amen, because Jesus is for everybody. Amen. Jesus doesn't just deliver one nation. He delivers the world. Amen. He doesn't just fight a giant for one nation. Amen. He fights the devil for the world. Amen. Come on, somebody. And he didn't just fight the devil. Amen. He's going to defeat the devil. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He's not just going to conquer one nation like Joshua. Jesus is much greater than that. Amen. He's going to conquer the world. The manna is for the whole world. That's why they need the Holy Ghost. We were talking about dreams and visions. I was studying the book of Acts, chapter 9 and 10. I call these chapters the vision chapters. Paul has a vision. Saul, who was changed to Paul, has a vision on the road to Damascus. Full of bright light. Couldn't see after that. And then God comes to another man named Ananias. He has a vision. Go to one, Saul of Tarsus. He says, you're the persecutor of the church? Yes, Saul of Tarsus. Go to him. Pray for him. Set him free. That should have been enough for Ananias, but he wasn't ready. He didn't want to go to the persecutor of the church. Then you go to Acts 10, and Cornelius has a vision. An angel comes to him. He's fasting. And he says, go to one, Simon Peter. I see the connection here. Go to one, Simon Peter. He will tell you what you ought to do. He's going to tell you what you need to do. And Peter, he's there in Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. Went up to the rooftop to pray. And he falls into a trance, into a vision. He sees all these unclean animals. I don't want to go into all the details, but at that very moment after the vision, he gets a knock on the door. And Cornelius sends his servants to Simon Peter. And he says, they say, can you come with us? Can you come to Cornelius' house? And I call these the vision chapter. And I've seen a connection. Visions are powerful. Dreams are powerful. We talk about them in the apostolic church, and we talk about them in a powerful way, and they are powerful. But I want to draw something to your attention here. I want to tell you that God didn't give these visions to Peter, who was an apostle, who knew the name of Jesus, who had the Holy Ghost, And God didn't give Ananias a vision. He gave them visions, but why? Because they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. The vision to Peter was, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. Ananias said, isn't that the persecutor of the church? Why did God give them visions? Because they didn't want to go. Because God knew they wouldn't go. The Jews wouldn't go to the Gentiles. Ananias didn't want to go to the persecutor of the church. But on the other side of the coin, Paul has a vision. Cornelius has a vision. Because people didn't want to go to them. And the brother who was singing here talked about the Muslim from Syria. I've been there to Lebanon. With Brother Azar, I remember praying for a lady from Syria. I got the Holy Ghost. You're right. Many, many, many come with this story that they seen the man in white. I remember my wife and I prayed for one of them like this. Seen the man in white. There in Brother Azar's church. And I remember thinking about this. Why are Muslims having visions and dreams? And Acts chapter 9 and 10 explained it to me. It's because nobody wants to go. So Jesus has to go himself. Nobody would have went to Cornelius because he's a Gentile. Nobody would have went to Paul because he's a persecutor of the church. Nobody wants to go to Muslims because they're terrorists. Nobody wants to go to Hindus. Amen, because they worship many gods and they're also persecutors of the church. Amen, nobody wants to go to some of these people. Amen, so God himself has to give them dreams and visions. And that's what we're hearing about. And it's powerful to hear how a Muslim has a dream or a vision of the man in white. But have we ever stopped to think why? Because nobody wants to go. Nobody wants to go. Nobody. Amen, I'm almost finished. Can I get some help up here real quick? Brother, the outreach director, can you come up, brother, please? And the brother who is sharing the dreams and the vision, can you come up, please? You know, is that okay, brother? Just one moment. I'm almost finished. And can I get two more? Anybody? Fine, any of the sisters, any of the brothers, just real quick. Real quick. Amen. Now, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we all know the scripture. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. So, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, salvation was going to come to Jerusalem. Take this Bible. It's going to come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city in Israel. It's one city. Just one city. It's the capital, but it's just one city. And then it was going to go to Judea. And Judea is just one region of Israel. It's the southern part of Israel, today known as the West Bank. But that's just one region. And then Jesus said it's going to go to Samaria. But that's just northern Israel. So from Samaria to Judea to Jerusalem is just one nation. But Jesus didn't stop there. The manna. What is it? Jesus said, it's going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. It's going to go to everybody. Amen. You're going to be a witness to everybody. to all people. Amen. That's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is multidimensional. It's multifaceted. Amen. It goes to everybody. You can be seated. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. The church didn't want to go to Saul, the persecutor. If you didn't realize, they went to Jerusalem. You didn't realize they went to Judea. You didn't realize they went to Samaria. And that's where the persecution started. They got stagnant. They stopped in Samaria. And persecution started. Why? Because God said, I can't let my church stop now. Amen. It's not just going to stop in Samaria. Amen. It's got to keep going. Amen. I better send Saul, the persecutor of the church, so my church can move. Amen. So my church can grow. Amen. So God sent persecution and the church was scattered. Sometimes God sends bad things and problems and hard times and crisis in our lives so the church can move. So you can move. Amen. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, the Bible reads, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, if any man in Texas thirst, if any man in this world thirst, he said, let him come. La baraka ta ya la barosha ta ya la barata ya la baraka ta ya la barasha ta ya la barata ya la barata ya la boria sha ta ya la boria ka ta ya. Hallelujah, there's a cry in the spirit. Oh, from almost 2,000 years ago. The cry of Jesus is still crying out. Hallelujah, if anybody's thirsty, if anybody needs something here tonight. Hallelujah, if you need an answer. Jesus is here. La baraka. Come on, somebody. I wish we would get a cry like Jesus. I wish you would get a cry for your family. Get a cry for your backslidden family, friends. Get a cry for the other nations. Get a cry if any man thirst. Get a cry for your school. Get a cry for your job. Get a cry for the lost. Get a cry for your city. Get a cry for your nation. Get a cry. Where's the intercessors at? Hallelujah. Thank you.
take his bride away.
Would you pray right now? Come on, I want you to pray.
We've only got,
come on, we only got a few more days. We got a few more hours. Today's our day. Come on. Even we got a great, great task before us. All the souls in the balance. Would you pray for somebody right now? Would you pray for that one tonight? Pray for your children if your children are lost.
We've only got a few more hours. We've only got a few more days. The Lord is coming back so soon to take his bride away. A few more hours to
pray with me, yes.
Eastern sky.
Oh, pray for the harvest, Lord of the harvest.
The master,
Lord of the harvest.
Running out of time. A few more days. We've only got a few more hours. We've only got a few more days. The Lord is coming back so soon. Take his bride away. We've only got a few more hours till he splits the eastern sky. Join the labor in the master's field. We're running out of time. A few more days. Only got a few more hours. We've only got a few more days. The Lord is coming back so soon to take his bride away. We've only got a few more hours till he splits the eastern sky. Join the labor in the master's field. We're running out of time.
Come on, would you pray? Come on, pray, 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 pray. Come on, Spirit of God.